Hi there, listeners of Accents, a podcast for literature, arts and culture. I'm your host, Katerina Stoykova, and I have the pleasure of serving as the director of the Kentucky Book Festival, a program of Kentucky Humanities. The next installment of KBF will take place on November 2nd at Joseph Bett Booksellers from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Today's episode features a friend and a supporter of the festival, Blair Hess, who is Vice President of Marketing and Communications at Kentucky Community and Technical College System. KCTCS is one of the sponsors of this year's festival. Hi, Blair, and welcome to Accents.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Tell us one thing we likely know about your organization and one thing we likely do not know.
Oh, goodness. I think that everyone knows that KCTCS is the community and technical college provider for the state of Kentucky. It was started a little over 25 years ago by merging all of the state's community colleges with all the state's technical programs. And we've been serving the Commonwealth since then. I think that a lot of people don't realize just how big KCTCS is. I know I certainly didn't. We have over 107,000 students across the state of Kentucky, which makes us the largest provider of higher education in the state. It is something that I think is not always a story that is well told because there is a little bit of a stigma surrounding community and technical programs. I know for me, from my experience when I was in high school, you know, there was a narrative that you needed to go away to some big four-year program, you would get a degree, and you would become one of those jobs, you know, doctor, teacher, lawyer, engineer. And community colleges were really given to us as like a consolation or a secondary route. And I really hate that because I think that that's something we're still fighting today. And I think that that means that a lot of people don't realize the opportunities that can be afforded by a community and technical college system to all Kentuckians from all backgrounds, all ages, all socioeconomic considerations, you know, everything. And that's something that we work on all the time.
That's amazing. The egalitarian view of education and the incredible opportunities it provides, the service that it provides.
It really is. A big focus of KCTCS is workforce, and so that means not only working on today's Kentucky's workforce of today, but that also means looking ahead to the future and trying to educate the workforce of tomorrow. And so really focusing in on some of the key sectors for Kentucky, like manufacturing and healthcare, and wanting to make sure we're providing graduates into those areas to serve all of Kentucky and people that will graduate with their degree or their certificate or their diploma and they will stay here in Kentucky and help our economy here. It's a big, big focus for us.
What are your organization's goals for this year?
Well, I mean, I think enrollment, increasing enrollment is everyone's goal all the time. There's been a narrative lately about the value of higher education. I think we've heard it nationally that maybe higher education isn't worth the dollar amount that's stuck on it. And I think that that's something everyone is combating, four-year institutions, community colleges. We know that education is important. We know that higher education is important. We know that education opens doors that were not open before. And it's really important to pursue that. But we also know that, you know, education can be expensive and that can be very, very scary. And I graduated with a nice amount of college debt, so I definitely understand that. KCTCS is half the cost of any of the four-year institutions in the state. So it's really something we're focusing on is getting our mission out of serving all Kentuckians and making sure that we share all the great opportunities available to students from across the state. They can come in, whether that's starting their educational journey with us, getting an associate's degree, saving some money, and then transferring to a four-year, or maybe it's completing a six-week program and getting right into the workforce, or a certificate and getting, you know, an advanced career based on that certification. There's so many opportunities, and we can really make it work for anyone. So that's certainly a goal, is really spreading that message and making sure Kentucky understands that. And just, you know, more partnerships with the community. I think that going back and making sure that we have great transfer agreements in place with our four-year institutions across the state is key so that we can funnel students continuing their education. But also great partnerships like Kentucky Humanities. You know, we build relationships this way. We all know that, right? It's basics of working together. How can we improve the lives of Kentuckians by building partnerships and relationships? So that'll be a big focus for us as well.
Can you speak to, I guess, variety of educational options, such as online and as well as in person?
Sure. Yes, we have so 16 colleges and 70 campuses across the state. We like to tell people that every Kentuckian is about 35 minutes from one of our campuses. And for us, that's access and opportunity. It's so important to make sure people understand they have access to KCTCS and there's opportunity to find a program for you. We do have online learning. You can get entire programs completed online. We also have flexible schedules. We know a lot of our students have kids. A lot of our students have full-time jobs. I was at the Big Sandy Community and Technical College graduation in May, and Dr. Quarles, our president, was speaking. And he asked the students, raise your hand if you have a part-time job and go to school. You know, and see the hands go up. Raise your hand if you have a full-time job and go to school. More hands go up. Raise your hand if you have kids. You know, raise your hand if you have to drive X number of miles to campus. You know, all of these, what we consider to be barriers to getting an education. And they were all there sitting in that room. They all had a cap and gown on, and they were all walking across the stage because they had completed a program at KCTCS. And the barriers that they had to overcome to do that are incredible. But yet they were able to do it. And there's so many resources in place that we have that help students do this.
Blair, this is riveting. It makes me wanna, you know, I listen to you speak and then I'm thinking, what can I sign up for?
Well, come on. Just go on our website. There's so many programs. It's really exciting, and it does make you want to go back and try things and get certificates, get associate's degrees, and kind of rack them up and see what else you can get expertise in.
Have you signed up for something since you've been working at KCTCS?
So I haven't yet. I've only been there since April 1st, so give me like a semester of grace, maybe in the spring semester. But I have all kinds of things that I have said I want to do. I joked with our business office the other day that I was going to go get my accounting certificate so that I could figure out what they were talking about all the time. You know, communications people, sometimes we struggle with the numbers. But I think that that's the incredible thing is I could do that. You know, and not only is it because it's a benefit to me and my job to be able to take those classes, but it's also, I know that I could work my 8-to-5 job and still do it. You know, I know that I could take it online. I could go to one of the campuses across the state. Between my house and my office, you know, I pass 2 campuses. That's incredible. And that's just, like I said, it's access, it's opportunity, and it's such an encouraging feeling.
What would you like the future of your organization to look like?
You know, we always say bigger and more students, and I think that's definitely true. But for me, and what I think the vision for, you know, our president, Dr. Quarles, is really a representation of Kentucky. You know, opening that classroom door, seeing the range of students, you know, knowing they're from all different backgrounds, knowing they came from different circumstances, knowing they're different ages and at different points in their life, and yet they're here pursuing their education because it's bettering their lives. It's bettering the lives of their families and their future generations and their communities. And we make Kentucky better by educating ourselves. So I think we'd love to see more of that in representation. We'd love to see more partnerships in the community and making sure that we are out and about and educating folks just about the opportunities available to them.
And what motivated you to support the Kentucky Book Festival?
Well, partnership for one, like I've mentioned, we do a lot of work with the skills-based programs, you know, welding and HVAC mechanic and a lot of the hands-on career-focused certificates. But we also want to make sure that we're partnering with the humanities because we have a lot of associate's degrees and a lot of programs on the other side of things. So we want to make sure that we're serving all Kentuckians, no matter what they're interested in.
Now, in a very lucky turn of events, you're one of the authors in this year's lineup. You and Cameron Ludwig are the co-authors of Kentucky Y'all, a nonfiction title out by the University Press of Kentucky. Writer Chris Offutt says, if you love Kentucky or love someone from Kentucky, you will love this book. And I'll add that this is a book about things we love, isn't it?
It is. It's this is one of those strange times when my worlds collide. I get to talk about KCTCS, but I also am going to be at the book fair as an author, which I'm so excited. Cameron is so excited. We haven't been at the book fair since, I was trying to remember, it's either 2018 or 2019. It's been several years, so we are very excited to be back.
So how did you get the idea of writing this book?
Well, Cameron and I started writing together, gosh, probably about 15 years ago. We've been friends for a very long time, and we've always traveled together. Sometimes that was around Kentucky. Sometimes that was other places. We've been to several countries together. It's just something we've always enjoyed doing. And it was kind of by chance that one day Cameron mentioned that she had never been to Mammoth Cave, and I was just so offended by this. I thought, how can you grow up in Kentucky? We're both from here. We both grew up here. How can you have not been to Mammoth Cave? It just seemed like this staple of Kentucky to me. And so we decided to go. And we decided to write about our experience, and we started a blog called My Old Kentucky Road Trip. And we started traveling across the state together and blogging about our adventures. And we would talk about our experience. We would talk about kind of tips for going there. And it just grew into a book. And so we wrote 4 travel guides together. And through that, and through traveling across the state, you know, it reintroduced us to the state of Kentucky. You know, we thought we knew it. We're both from here. I'm a 7th-generation Kentuckian. I have a lot of roots here. And I thought I understood the state. And yet we would meet people and we'd be welcomed into people's homes and we would learn something new about Kentucky. So Kentucky, y'all, is our first non-road trip book. It's our first not travel guide. And it's really, Cameron will probably kill me for saying it, but it's really our love letter to Kentucky. You know, it's an appreciation of all the things we love about the state that we already knew, that we learned. And, you know, it's always been a quest of ours to teach people about history and culture, but not do it by being a historian or a, you know, writing a boring history book. We wanted to make it fun and exciting and feel like you were having a conversation with us. So that was really the goal of this book and how it all came to be.
So it's organized in 6 parts. Part 1, food. Part 2, alcohol. Part 3, horses. Part 4, boards. I'm going to have to stop you here at part 5 to explain yourself.
Okay.
Because we're on accents, right?
Yes, accents. So, you know, we approach this book kind of a how to be a Kentuckian mentality of, you know, how to dress like a Kentuckian, how to eat like a Kentuckian, how to drink like a Kentuckian. And obviously we know that's one version of Kentucky, that there are lots of different versions of Kentucky. But we wanted to show sort of the culture and the history through that. Then we got to this section of, well, how does one talk like a Kentuckian? And it evolved into this idea that, you know, where does the accent come from? What is the Kentucky accent? If you go from Eastern Kentucky to Central Kentucky to Western Kentucky, how does it change? Because it's so drastically different in Appalachia, and the words that are spoken and the phrases and the roots in Elizabethan English. It's incredible. Some of the similarities between Appalachian phrases and Shakespeare. It's absolutely incredible. And then you get to the western part of the state, and it's a little bit different. It's a little bit flatter. And so, both in accent and in geography. And so it kind of evolved into us telling that story. And it's been a lot of fun looking up the different turns of phrase, the different things that I say all the time that I don't realize are Kentucky phrases or that people may not know the origins of. So that was one of my favorite parts to write. It's also funny because we have an audiobook that accompanies this book. So we hired, you know, people to read the book. And we had to put together a pronunciation guide for the book. And we put together this list of words that we thought, you know, they need to make sure that they understand in Kentucky it's Versailles and not Versailles. And it's Athens and not Athens. And all these different variations. And they came back and they said, this is great. We appreciate it. Now, we also need you to record yourself saying some of them. Because even using the pronunciation guide, they're like, is it Burgoo or Burgoo? And they wanted us to actually record in our voices saying some of the words. And we had the most fun with that list because it was things that, you know, Cameron and I, like I said, we just consider common to us. And to try to explain it to someone else was enlightening.
So instructions on how to be a Kentuckian, how to become a Kentuckian. Let me ask you, how, when does an immigrant become a Kentuckian?
You're looking for pointers, for tips?
With your permission, all of the above, I guess.
No, the wonderful thing about the book is it's telling you the history and the culture. It's telling you how we got here. What are the unique oddities about our history that led us to today? We go to the Kentucky Derby and we wear big hats and fancy clothes. Why? You know, why is that the case? Did someone just show up in pretty dresses one day? Well, no, you know, the founder of the Kentucky Derby, he wanted to make gambling more respectable. And so he had been to derbies, horse derbies across the pond in England, and he saw them as these fancy affairs. So he came back and he rounded up his friends and he said, we're going to dress fancy and we're going to wear big hats and we're going to make this a fancy affair.
But still speak with Kentucky accent, right?
Well, of course. I mean, there's only so much you can control. But the idea is we want you to learn these things through these other accounts, right? So how to become a Kentuckian, it's, you know, learn about the history and the culture and how we got here. Because if we learn about all of that, then we know, you know, we understand it better. We know where we're going better. We don't repeat mistakes in the way that we've repeated them in the past. There are things about our culture that we might find bothersome, but now we understand where they come from. And I think that's incredibly important for what we're trying to do with this book.
Speak about the hand-drawn illustrations.
Oh, I love them. So for our first books, our travel guides, we used photography because we wanted to make sure we made the places beautiful so you would want to go see them. We really want people to get out and about and travel Kentucky. When it came to doing this book, we just didn't think photos really fit what we were trying to do. So we came up with this idea of wanting to make these little icons almost of Kentucky. But then trying to explain to an artist, you know, what we were envisioning, it was a challenge. But we connected with Jessica Rusher, who is here in Kentucky, in Lexington. She's incredible. And we told her we wanted these drawings, and we gave her a list of ideas, and she really she made them so much better than we could have imagined. Not only are they little hand-drawn icons, but they, you know, they kind of have this very nostalgic watercolor look of them, which is really what we wanted for the feeling of this book.
I wanted to show you a photo, me, in front of a KFC at a gas station on a highway somewhere in the middle of Bulgaria.
Oh my gosh!
And I've made a selfie with a KFC sign, and I've posted the photo on Facebook with a caption, "Take the girl out of Kentucky."
That's right. Cameron and I play a game when we travel internationally, and we have been to a few countries. And we always play a game of who can find the KFC fastest.
Ugh.
So either we're together and we do it, or we'll be apart. And, you know, she'll text and say, I've landed. And then it's a competition for how long it takes her to find a KFC. 9 times out of 10, they're in the airport. So it's lucky. But we always find them. What I love is what the menu is, because everywhere you go, the KFC has a different menu. So it's a game we play too, but I would love to see that photo.
Talk about researching and making the list of that book.
Yeah, it's always hard. You know, this one was a little bit easier, honestly, than past travel guides, because when you sit down to do a travel guide, you know, you rough out 25, 30 places that you're going to include in this travel guide. And you do them all, and you travel to the places, and sometimes you have to travel to them multiple times. You get the photos, you get the notes, you take the tours, you get home, you have to research more, answer questions. Sometimes you have to go back because there's just a big enough chunk missing. And inevitably, you go to the Kentucky Book Fair or a library or a bookstore and you're talking to a Kentuckian and you say, I have a road trip book about Kentucky. And they say, does it include? And then they'll say something. And of course it doesn't include that. It never includes that, because there we could write 10 more travel guides about Kentucky and you can't cover everything. This book was almost easier because we ticked out, you know, we want to talk about clothing, we want to talk about food and drink, we want to talk about celebrations and traditions around celebrations, we want to talk about the way that we speak, and then we really want to end it with a true honoring of Kentuckians. How do we end this book on a note, and the book is fun, the book is lighthearted, the book is hopefully a little funny. How do we end it with a very respectful note of there are some incredible people from the state of Kentucky? And all of those things you hear about Kentuckians, where they may or may not wear shoes, they may or may not have all their teeth, they may or may not talk a little different than you talk. Those things don't matter because we have some incredible people, inventors and scientists and writers and musicians from Kentucky. So we knew we wanted to culminate with this ending and this very sincere ode to our fellow Kentuckians. So this one I think was a little bit different and a little bit easier, but you just sit down and you throw every idea out on paper and then you go through and you try to agree on a list.
Did it take you a long time to complete the book from start to finish?
Yeah, you know, I can't tell you how long because I blacked it out. You just shut the curtain. This one just definitely took longer. Like I said, this one was a little bit harder. It was our first time where we weren't just relying on travel. It's an easy comfort to fall back on. This one was harder because it really was a more heartfelt, you know, getting to the roots of culture, making sure we were being holistic in our coverage. You know, just because it's our version of Kentucky, is it everyone's version of Kentucky? How are we mindful of that? So it was definitely challenging. It took a while. This was also our first time going through peer review with University Press of Kentucky, which was a wonderful experience and a terrible experience trying to get your peers to understand what you're trying to do, learning to take criticism, learning to draft and redraft. But I think Cameron and I just kept coming back to, you know, this is our dedication to Kentucky and how we can tell others how important our state is.
And then you end the book with acknowledging our presence on indigenous land. Speak about that, please.
You know, we wanted to, you know, make sure that we were being honest with everyone. You know, we talk a lot about history. We talk a lot about how we got here. And I think we wanted to be just fully transparent in the fact that you gotta say it all, right? And sometimes the history is not as pretty and lighthearted as you want it to be. But we, you know, we acknowledge it and we honor it and we say this is what it used to be and it's part of how we got here. You know, if we don't talk about what this land used to be before it was settled by Daniel Boone and Dr. Thomas Walker and others, you know, then we're doing ourselves a disservice to our own history. So it's, we wanted to include it and make sure that we had an accurate representation of who came first.
So what's next for you and Cameron?
Well, you know, we were setting up some book events. Our book officially comes out on September 10th, although I have seen it a few places, so I'm cautiously optimistic it's out there and circulating in the world. We have some book events for the next several months to the end of the year, but it's funny, I was talking with Cameron yesterday about an event, and she said, oh, well, we'll see so-and-so there, and maybe we can talk to them about our next book. And I went, oh gosh, she's already planning the next one. So every book we say is our last, and then every time we say it's our last, we end up thinking of another idea we want to do. So I don't know what's next. We enjoy writing together. We enjoy traveling together. I think we just do this as an excuse to keep doing that.
Thank you for coming to Accents, and I'll see you at the festival November 2nd, 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Joseph Beth.
I'm excited. See you there.